Welcome to the Colts Free Agent Preview Podcast, a look at some key in-house free agents this offseason. Now, here's the voice of the Colts, Matt Taylor, from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
Ah, yes, thanks for coming back once again. This is the Free Agent Preview Podcast Series here on Colts.com, Colts Audio Network. Welcome inside the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio. And I'm Matt Taylor with the legendary Bill Brooks. Say hello, Billy.
There you go again, Matt. The head shake. I love the head shake.
Yeah. I'm trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
And you do a good job of that. You're doing a good job of that right now.
Bill Brooks, Casey Valley, the most humble guy we know, probably in that category.
Oh, easily. Easily the most humble guy. He doesn't take any credit for anything.
Legendary status.
He just stares at me. He doesn't even respond.
Let's move on. Let's move on, guys.
Legendary Bill Brooks, the steadfast Casey Valle.
Not so legendary.
But you're loyal and consistent. That's all we can ask for.
I'll take it.
Gentlemen, the Combine week is here. Combine, this is Monday. Combine really kind of starts in earnest, tomorrow, Casey, with all of the media, depending on who you are, kind of redescending on Indianapolis. If you were here covering both football and basketball, if you kind of had double duty for the NBA All-Star Weekend festivities, welcome back to the Circle City here.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a busy time. I mean, you think with March Madness and all that stuff coming right around the corner, too. So a lot of these guys that cover multiple sports, they'll be making a couple trips here.
Yeah.
And you know what? It just
Are those games at Lucas Oil, first and second round games, or at Gamebridge this year?
I'm not exactly sure. I know that there are games here.
They're in town.
It's one of those things at the tip of the cap to the city of Indianapolis.
Yes.
I mean, you want to talk about hosting events. They do it better than anybody, and, I mean, it was crummy weather for the All-Star break, but everything seemed like it went off without a hitch, which is not at all a surprise with how good Indianapolis does for things like this.
I suspect those games are going to be at Gamebridge for first and second round, but nevertheless, I should say, they are in town. Coming up in late March, we're going to hear from General Manager Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen later this week at the Combine. We'll have plenty of good guests. Our guest lineup this week is shaping up to be pretty good at the Combine, so we'll put out some good interviews and sit-downs on the draft and some thoughts from national folks on what the Colts should do in free agency. So stay tuned for all of that later this week here on the Colts Audio Network. But the free agent tracker continues today. So far, we have previewed Michael Pittman Jr., Gardner Minshew. We've taken a look at Zach Moss, Kenny Moore II, Grover Stewart, and Julian Blackman. And today we're talking about all things special teams, talking about the third phase of the game. Punter Rigoberto Sanchez is also a free agent as well. And, Bill, before we dive in there, I mean, Rigo was one of the great comeback stories for the Colts this past season. You could literally physically see him getting better and more impactful week by week coming off his torn Achilles from 2022.
Exactly. You know, when he did tear his Achilles, and then that was a big blow to him and a big blow to the team, not having Rigo out there. And then, you know what, he came back slowly, did it right, did his rehab right, got right. You know what, got off to a little slow start in the season, but he picked it up as the season went on, and you saw how effective he was out there, punting the ball, pinning teams back in their own end zone, in their own end, I should say, and doing a nice job for special teams.
Yeah, no end zones there. You know, Rigoberto Sanchez, no touchbacks. We'll talk about that. But the capsule here just wrapped up his seventh season with the Colts. Unbelievable. Rigoberto Sanchez has been here every year since being an undrafted free agent with the Colts since 2017. Last year, he posted a career-high 48.7 average in overall average, gross average, had a net average of 42.3. He had 21 punts inside the 20-yard line. He was also the only punter in the NFL, as we said, to not record a touchback, backing up once again his great ability to place the ball directionally. It was also a really good bounce back season for him. 2022, as we mentioned, went down with that torn Achilles during conditioning sprints late in training camp up at Grand Park. Would go on to miss the entire season, had a long road of recovery to get back. Also experienced some adversity back in 2020, we remember there. Missed part of the season after he had a cancerous tumor removed just days after Thanksgiving of that year. And because of that, Sanchez, rightfully so, selected by his teammates as the recipient of the 2020 Ed Block Courage awards. That's the capsule, Casey, on Rigoberto Sanchez. This is actually the first time Rigo hits free agency. So how much urgency should the Colts have to re-sign their great punter that's been with them for 7 years now?
I don't know if the word is urgency just because of the position. I'm not in those, you know, GM rooms and all of that. I don't know where punter is on top targets you must to go get. But one thing I do remember is the first signing that Chris Ballard made when he came here in 2017 was that he signed Jeff Locke.
Mm-hmm.
The punter from Minnesota, who ultimately was beat out by Rigo as an undrafted guy. So clearly there is an emphasis put on it. And when you look at the, you know, the career that Rigo has had, you know, Bill talked about it, you talked about it, no touchbacks. He seemingly is a guy, he's not going to always have the biggest leg. You look at, you know, gross and net average, it's not always going to be up at the top. But what I always look at is those touchback numbers, and it seems like every week this year, it came down to, you know, who's going to win the field position battle, and that is one of the things that Rigo has always been able to be really, really good at among the tops in the NFL. So I don't know if urgency is the word, but it's definitely, if you're looking at guys to target, he's probably atop that list when the Colts are looking at punters, just because they know what they have him as a punter and also the importance that he has as a holder in the kicking game as well.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that one, Casey, because I think, you know, definitely I don't know how high up on a list he is, but he does have value to a team. He definitely adds value to the team. And you mentioned the punting and pinning teams back in their own end. That goes a long way for a team. You can kind of flip field position that way and pin a team back. The defense gets out there, makes some plays, keep them back in. They punt the ball back to the offense. Offense gets the ball in good field position.
Right.
It creates opportunity for the team to go out there and score points. And that's how you play good complementary football. So you get a punter that can do his job and do it effectively within the scheme of the special teams of the punt.
Yeah,
that goes a long ways for a team.
Yeah, and Casey, piggybacking off what you said, I mean, you're right. He's not going to be confused with the biggest leg in the NFL, but that doesn't make him any less of a weapon, right?
Right.
Since 2017, Rigo's averaging 44.8 yards per punt, which ranks 20th in that time. But when it comes to controlling field position and being able to pin teams into bad field position, Casey, with just this magic trick that he seems to have with his directional punting,
right,
you know, the spin of the ball, being able to kind of let it just always seems like the ball just kind of dies or peters out, for lack of a better term, inside the 10-yard line, giving the Colts punt coverage team a chance to get down the field and down the punt. But it's also, it angles towards the sidelines, so no return is possible as well. So in that regard, Casey, how much of a weapon has Rigo been in the third phase of the game, supplying negative field position consistently for the opposition, which doesn't really always show up in the box score, and it's not kind of on the top of fans' minds when they recap the game the next day at the water cooler?
Right, and that's exactly the way I kind of would look at it, is control and weapon, because that's what he is. He's not, I don't know how to describe it, I'm a big baseball guy, you almost look at it as like, he's like Jamie Moyer. He's not going to go out and throw the hardest, but somehow it works. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Greg Maddux, he's able to place the ball so well, he's not going to blow 98-mile-an-hour fastballs by you, but he just can put it so well on the
field. Do we
need
a Bronson Arroyo reference in here as well?
Oh, no.
Sure. I know you're a big Reds guy.
Reds
get the leg kicked
former
up
Red
by
Sox guy,
yeah.
Yes.
But I think that's just what he does so well, is he's able to control the outcome of his punts a lot better than a majority of punters in the league. I mean,
right.
I look at the guy that's punting in one of the AFC South foes in Tennessee, and Ryan Stonehouse.
Yep.
He can punt the ball 80 yards.
Yeah, he can send it to the moon.
But he had like 15 touchbacks this year. So it's like, it's the give or take. It's like, do you want the big leg, or do you want the guy that, you know what, he's not gonna boot it 60 yards every time, but he's gonna put it right where it's going to be, setting up the opposing team for long fields. And I take the latter any time of the day.
Yeah, and I think you want a punter that can punt within the system, within your team, because to me, part of it is having a punt coverage unit that can get down there.
Right.
You can always outkick your coverage.
100%.
And then they have an opportunity to have a big return, the opposing team, and you don't want to do that. So you want a guy that's going to stay within the system, kick it enough so that, hey, you know what, it gets the guys back further down there, good hang time, and give your punt coverage team time to get down there and kind of surround the punt returner and make him make a fair catch, or try to return it and tackle him for a loss or for a very short gain.
And that's one thing I always look at when you look at Rigo's gross to net average. Mm-hmm. It's always very, very close. And mm-hmm. that's where I always put, well, this is how good of a punter he has been, because he's mm-hmm. punting at 46 yards and they're getting a yard or two on a return. That's what you want. You don't want that gross and net to be 10 yards off. And that's where Rigo, he's definitely been one. As far as we can remember here, it's been a lot of good punters to come through.
Right.
And he replaced the guy in Pat McAfee who was a really good punter, and he's done a really good job replacing those shooters.
No, all good points. And I just go back to what we talked about at the beginning. I mean, at the beginning of the season, the leg strength, and rightfully so considering what he was coming off of, it wasn't there. It wasn't what we were used to. The hang time wasn't there, and that coincides with, you know, punt coverage ability as well. The hang time wasn't there. That led to some big punt return numbers at the beginning of the season. And in a game where hidden yards are everything and a game of inches, all those cliches, that really matters. But as the season went on, the leg strength came back, the confidence came back, the hang time really improved, and thus, you know, Colts coverage units improved on covering punts. That leads us, Bill, to the value there. How much value should the Colts put on a veteran punter? Because Rigo himself, as Casey alluded to, he landed on the team beating out a veteran free agent, Jeff Locke, who the Colts signed back in 2017. So based on where Rigo's at, based on where the Colts are at with a lot of prime, if you will, in-house free agents, some marquee in-house free agents that we've already discussed, does another undrafted free agent punter make sense for the Colts based on just financials and where this team is at right now?
Well, I think if you're looking at just financials, of course, I think that would help the Colts out. If you're looking at just financials when you want to sign other guys on your team, in-house free agents
that play offense and defense.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Play offense and defense. So if you want to sign those guys, that was great. But when you look at what someone can bring to the team and how they can help a team, I think having a veteran punter on the team goes a long ways, because if you have a veteran punter, he understands the things that he needs to do. Rigo understands that he needs to put the ball in a certain spot. He doesn't need to have the highest gross average of punting the ball and getting the ball down the field, as we talked about earlier, out kicking your coverage, so to speak. You want a guy back there that understands what's going on, what you want to do out there in the football field, and punt within your system so that punt coverage unit can get down there, make tackles, have a good net average, okay, in comparison to your gross average. So I think having a veteran would go a long ways for the team, because I'm a big believer in complementary football. Mm-hmm. If you could pin a team back and let your defense do its job, get the ball back to the offense, let them do the job. Everyone has a role, and this is punt team is just one part of that role in regards to mm-hmm. playing complementary football from an offense and defense standpoint.
And I also think, and this goes back to me talking about at the top with the punter market and where the, you know, the scale is, where you put it in your priority list, I don't know if signing a veteran punter is going to be one of those things that's going to impact your ability to sign somebody else. When you look at cap space and all of that, you aren't going to allocate a whole bunch of money at the punter, because it's just not that desired position where you're going to be paying that much. So I don't think it's one of those things where you look at, oh, you got to go with the younger and cheaper option because we need to sign X and Y, because I don't think you're going to get into that situation. But I do understand from, you know, you look at the financials down the road, and also a guy in year 8 heading, and all of that plays into it, but I don't know if it's mm-hmm. going to really hamstring you as far as financials go in what his contract would be.
And going back to what you talked about earlier, this isn't a one-trick pony here. This is one of the best skilled players on your team. He doesn't handle kickoffs anymore, at least he didn't last year. Matt Gay primarily took over those responsibilities, but Rigo Sanchez has been, in years past, consistently the Colts' kickoff specialist and done a really good job in controlling field position there. Directional kicking is really good in that regard as well. But also as a holder, Casey, you talked about it earlier, how much value does he hold in the success of the kicking game in Matt Gay? I mean, the Colts don't beat the Ravens last year without Rigoberto Sanchez precisely holding all of those 50-yard field goals for Matt Gay.
Yeah, that's where the big one comes in, because guys like Luke Rhodes and Matt Gay, they understand the importance that Rigo is on that unit. When you look at that trio, those three specialists that when we go out to practice, they're off doing their own thing, you know, they're working on certain things. There's a reason that it's a very well-polished group. And
he cares
part,
deeply about doing it well.
Yes, that is so true. And mm-hmm. and part of the big reason about that is because of how good Rigo is as a holder. And That's going to be the biggest, ultimately, when you think about if you replace him, you're going to have to find somebody who can slide into that role, because that's a big one. I mean, we all know the price tag that Matt Gay got last year, and in large part because of that, you expect him to go out and do his job. Well, you knew you had a guy holding who could make him do his job. And if
it's all about the details with that, too.
Yes, that's going to be a big issue you got to look at when you go to if you are replacing a guy like Rigo Sanchez this offseason. That is a big part of it for sure.
I love that story, Bill, about Rigo Sanchez's wife snapping balls to Rigo in the living room, like while they're watching like CIS or something.
Fantastic,
you know, like that's dedication when the wife gets involved.
That is when you get the whole family involved. That is dedication, and you know, give him credit. He wanted to be out there. He wanted to be doing something that's gonna help him get better. So you know, he had his wife help him out. So that's great. You know, get the whole family involved. But you know what? The thing is, with that operation from the snap to the hold to the kick, people take it for granted for the most part.
100%.
That, you know, hey, the extra point, we're going to make it. You know, the only time you might not take it for granted is a 50-yard field goal,
sure,
you know, something along like that. But for the most part, extra points, people take that for granted. And that operation has to be on point in order to make sure you're getting just an extra point, the 1 point. So it's very important. You shouldn't take that for granted, and not just the holder and the kicker, but also the snapper as well. So all those individuals play a part in making sure that point, that ball gets through the uprights and you get a point.
Right. All right, last thing here when it comes to special teams and Rigoberto Sanchez and free agency. I haven't dug too deep into this. Maybe you guys have, but when it comes to special teams, when it comes to kicking, when it comes to punting, how did the teams that went far in the playoffs, let's say teams that were in the AFC Championship game, NFC Championship, how do their kickers and punters comprise their ability to get far into the playoffs? Have you done the research there, Casey, at all?
You know, it's interesting because I would look at the Super Bowl, and it's kind of a flip of both teams. You had a rookie kicker and Jake Moody for the 49ers, and then you had a guy like Harrison Butker, who's a great experienced kicker for the Chiefs. And Tommy Townsend was their punter, a very, very well-respected and well-rounded punter. You know, you talk about AFC Championship game, there was the Baltimore Ravens, and everybody knows what Justin Tucker is. So I'm sure there are ways, and I'm sure every team has another, you know, their own method on it. And I would say that it's not imperative that you have a marquee, best-of-the-best guy.
Right.
But it doesn't hurt because, you know, especially in the Super Bowl, in an AFC Championship game where – every snap is so crucial. And if you can win the field position battle, as we mentioned, or if it comes down to making sure that your execution on a long field goal is flawless and you have that, you know, that great connection between long snapper and holder and your kicker, it goes a long way. And it's interesting that you kind of bring that up, because I think you did see kind of two sides of it, especially in the kicking game in the Super Bowl with a rookie and a guy who's experienced. But in the punters, if you look at it kind of around, all those punters were all experienced guys kind of late in the postseason. So I would assume that it plays a little bit of a part of it for sure.
Well, I mean, you look at the Super Bowl. I look at the Super Bowl. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs, punter Townsend. He averaged 50.8. He netted 50.8.
Yeah.
So he had some good hang time.
Yes.
And punt protection was good as far as people getting down the field. That plays a huge part, and we talked about it earlier, flipping the field. Just flipping the field so you have – so to make the other team go the whole field, try to score points and make it difficult for them. So I think it plays a part. You know, like I said, like Kay said, I don't think you have to have the greatest or the best, but I think you have to have a punter or special teams players that play within the scheme of your special teams and can be effective. You don't have to have the biggest punting average, or you don't have the most hang time, but just enough to make sure your guys get down there, cover your guys, and minimize the other team's returns or effectiveness on special teams.
Yeah, Tommy Townsend from Kansas City, he was 17th in gross, 21st in return average. Wichnowski, 14th in gross, 19th in return.
Okay.
Jack Fox from Detroit, 21st in gross, 11th in return. And Jordan Stout from Baltimore, he was 13th in gross, 31st in return average. That shows you right there. It's not imperative, but listen, you want weapons on your team.
Right.
Yes. Right? You want as many weapons on your team as possible. And Rigoberto Sanchez is a weapon. And every offseason for every NFL team is about filling holes. And if you can fill a hole with bringing back Rigoberto Sanchez on a sweet spot contract, meaning, like you said, Case, you give him what he's worth and it falls within the range of what a good punter should make and not taking away money from being able to sign other positions, then hell yeah.
Right.
Hell yeah, I would love to see Rigo back for his eighth season and beyond. And quite frankly, selfishly, we've said this a lot about all of these players, just good guys.
Wonderful. Yes. Yeah.
Good people.
Rigo's a wonderful human
being.
Rigo
is an unbelievable conversation, a wonderful human being. So selfishly, you want those guys back in the locker room to make our lives easier.
Yes, great absolutely.
He has a great heart, good person, good family man. Just I really like Rigo. I like what he stands for and what he goes out there, and he gives a lot to the team, and he cares about his teammates. So a very, very good man.
It's all about us, if you haven't figured that out so far. Come on now. That's all you need to know on Rigoberto Sanchez and his free agency leading into March 13th. The start of the new league year. We'll have tons of stuff, as we said, coming from the Combine later this week. Chats, or I should say press conferences with Chris Ballard, Shane Steichen, and plenty of conversations from other local markets and national folks as well. So stay tuned for that later this week as well from the Combine. We'll also continue our free agent previews next week, talking about Taven Bryan, Ronnie Harrison, Tyquan Lewis, and Jake Martin. All of those capsules coming up in the coming days. But for Casey Vallier, Bill Brooks, I'm Matt Taylor, and we will talk to you later this week from the Combine right here on the Colts Audio Network. So long.